Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, you're in the air with Wake Up Linda. It is Marlis Mungi, and we have a lot of exciting things going on today. We have Mr. James Cannon coming on. There will be Laura Bacham. She's our nature lady. We're going to get started this morning. It is Marlis Mungi, and you're on the air with Wake Up Linda. this show is about our youth of today. It's all about our youth today. Now, there's a lot of things going on, but I have some exciting things that happened this weekend. I attended several youth events, and just to see the young people out, you know, really striving, doing something, moving forward, trying to make changes in their lives, you know, reaching out, paying it forward, learning respect, respect for themselves, respect for each other, respect for just nature, for the world, for things that are happening. It's great when you can, like, witness all of this in action. There was many graduations. I attended a leadership program, and this particular program does transformation. And when we hear the word transformation, we, you know, take it to the negative. Oh, I don't need to change. Nothing is wrong with me. Uh-huh. There's always something wrong with you, and you don't even know it. And you won't know it until you step out and have others mirror back to you, because, you see, we're each other's mirrors. If there's something that I have that I don't like, I have it too. Otherwise, I wouldn't recognize it in you. But I was so happy to see the smiling faces, to connect in, to talk, to hear what's going on out there, to hear the plans that they have, to see the excitement. It's a wonderful thing. It's all about our youth. But sometimes we have to listen real close to them.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in the torn up town, no postcode envy.
But every song's like cold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room, we don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
Listen to the kids. listen to them real closely. You know, we have a segment in this show. It's called Stay in Touch. And how Stay in Touch works is that you dial 323-769-5879. You leave your name, the person that you're sending the message to, and we will air that out the following day. Only positive love messages. I had a call in from Sheila. Sheila's calling in from Chicago, Illinois, and she said she wants to say hello to Andrea, who is her sister, and that she loves her very, very dearly. So please, let's all stay in touch. The number again is 323-769-5879. Again, 323-769-5879. We must stay in touch and we must all take a ride. our weather today is going to be about 78 degrees. It's going to be a lovely day out there. You know, I'd like to share something with you. All children are gems, full of precious potential. There is hope in every child, since life itself is full of hope. Should the hope of the children be stifled or broken, that would be our responsibility as adults. It pains my heart to see what goes on in today's society. I do not want to see the eyes of the children darkened with fear and clouded with tears of sorrow. Society must be absolutely transformed. Children are mirrors that reflect adult society. When adults are ailing and their vision clouded, children will also suffer. Let us wipe away the tears of sorrow from the face of each child. We must protect children and give them courage, strength, and vitality. It is parents who nurture children, the hope of humanity. How noble parents are. What a great mission and responsibility they fulfill. Parents are the ones that nurture children, and we are all parents to our youth. So on Marvelous Monday, we'll have another motto. Let us mommy up all the children so that they won't go in having these type of feelings.
gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams, but all your hopes are sinking. Let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? I would whisper love so loudly every heart could understand. But love and only love can join the tribes of man. I would give my heart's desire so that you might see. The first step is to realize that it all begins with you and me.
Apologize. Sometimes it's a little hard to do that, but if you step across the line, leave your fears, leave the negativity, step over into your greatness, I can guarantee you this can be done. Today is Marvelous Monday, and what did I say? We're going to mommy up all the youth out there. There's testing going on. Finals happening. Graduation's coming up. I don't know the right shoe to wear with my cap and gown. I don't know if I should wear shorts, dress, slacks up under my cap and gown. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of questions. We don't know what the weather is going to be. Sometimes if it's hot, you cannot put a suit up under there. You're going to be miserable. So youth out there and persons out there that are graduating, kind of like check the weather, lighten it up. It gets a bit hot if you're sitting outside with the sun beaming down on your happiness. The sun is beaming down happy, and you're beaming up happy. So let's be mindful of what's under those cap and gowns. There is probably water that will be at all locations if it is a hot day. But if not, sort of like hot to a bottle underneath, so that you can remain hydrated. We do not want you to pass out before you get your cap and gown up there. We have some callers coming in. Let's see who's on the line. I think I have someone coming in now. Good morning. You're calling in. Wake up with Linda. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Ms. Linda. This is James Cannon. So excited to be calling in this morning. I hear a lot of the things that you're talking about. It's always good to rise up early in the morning, to wake up early in the morning, to rise with the power of the sunrise. As powerful as the sun rises each morning, that's how your show rises up. And we want to say we appreciate you for being on the air every morning. We appreciate you for faithfully bringing motivation and encouragement to your listeners. I want to say how much I appreciate you and good morning this morning.
Well, Mr. James Cannon, that makes me feel so good, and you know from the bottom of my heart how much appreciation I have for you, the wonderful great things you do, your abilities to empower and encourage everyone that you meet. I'm so glad that you're on the phone with us today. What are you going to excite us with this morning?
Well, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about my book, which is The Calling, which I'm excited about that. And I think that everybody, if they get a chance to order that book, they can go on Amazon, pick it up. It's called The Calling. And I think what's important about that is, like I said, like with the power of the sunrise, if we rise every morning understanding that we have a calling, that we have been called to life. And with that calling, that means that we have the ability to take authority over some things. We have ability to take authority over our bodies. We have ability to take authority over our atmosphere and our surroundings. One person said, you know, don't go out looking for the weather. Take your weather with you. It doesn't make a difference if it's raining outside, if you got sunshine on the inside of your heart. It doesn't make a difference if everybody else is having a bad day. If on the inside of you, you know that you're more than a conqueror. You understand that there's nothing coming towards you today that you and your maker cannot take care of. You and your maker cannot handle. There's no trouble coming at you today. Today is a good day. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, because we all have a calling to go out into life with the best that we have. And life then will give us what we demand on life. You know, a lot of people sit around and complain. A lot of people sit around and wait for the ship to come in. Well, in today's economy, you have to swim out there after your ship. Can't wait on it. In this environment in 2014, you got to understand that there's many people that have done more that had less. And so with hope for tomorrow, hope for a brighter day, hope for that things will get better, then you can go into this day excited about your calling. You can go into this day ready to fulfill your calling. I tell everybody simply to say that I am brilliant and I'm intelligent and I'm walking in my calling.
That is awesome. And I'm looking, and I read the book. The book is very, very exciting. And chapters that you talk about, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. The calling of a leader. Now, that one I really enjoyed because, you know, all my youth are leaders, and that's what they are. So that really struck me, the calling of a father, and that you really are, you know, looking at all of your wonderful results, you are a wonderful father, so you can set the examples out there for others. And the book, The Calling, it states how to discover your calling in 3 days, and it's true. If everyone would go out and just take out time, what I find about the book, it's easy reading, very, very interesting on that. Mr. Cannon, let me ask you, what inspired you to put the book out? You do so many things, but the book, what did you want to put out there? Why is this book The Calling out?
That's so valuable, and I appreciate the way you asked that question. The reason for the book, really, one of the reasons is to get the message out, but also to prove the fact that it is my first book, but to prove how valuable putting our thoughts into print really are. Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, who was born in slavery, she wrote over 9 books before she passed away. Booker T. Washington, who also was born in slavery, he also wrote over 9 books. And so if these individuals could have enough forethought, enough wisdom to be born in slavery, but understand how valuable it is to put your words down in print and save them and store them for future generations. Booker T. Washington is gone, been gone for many years. Mary McLeod Bethune is gone, been gone for many years. But their books still live on. The books still create a revenue even for their foundations. You know, so one thing in life, what I found is that books have been such a powerful way to pass down secrets. Scientists and doctors hide their secrets in books and pass them down from one generation to the next. And even though we're living in an electronic world where people have tablets and e-books, and I still find that it's very, very valuable to write your story, to put it in a book, and then put that book out there everywhere. And so in my book, The Calling, I believe that everybody has a calling. And I believe the subject matter needed to be dealt with because many times we use the word calling interchangeably with purpose, a purpose and a calling, which I attempt to explain with the help and direction of God that everybody has a calling. But more so, everybody was created with a purpose. It's kind of like a carpenter who creates a table. He creates it with a purpose. The maker of the automobile created the automobile with a purpose. The automobile cannot have a calling, but it can have a purpose. The table can have a purpose, but it doesn't have a calling. A calling is given to individuals that are alive. A purpose is given to anything that is created. So you can be created and have a purpose, but to have a calling, you have to have the ability to hear that calling. To have a calling, you have to have the ability to respond to the calling. A table cannot respond to a calling, and neither can a car. But a car can have a purpose. So when we understand that a purpose and a calling is very different, then we can put them in the proper order, and we can say about them what we need to say about them because they're totally different. A woman can have a purpose for which she was created on this planet. but you can also have a calling and have many different callings because your calling can change. But the purpose for which you were created, when you ask yourself, why am I here? What is my purpose in life as a man? What is my purpose in life as a woman? When you answer that question, then it's going to, and you understand that question, then it will better help you understand what your calling is. Many people are confused about their calling because they're confused about their purpose. Your purpose first, then your calling. You understand your purpose, then you can better clearly walk in the callings that's given to you. President Barack Obama had to first finish law school that was a calling. His next calling became to become the President of the United States of America, to become the first Afro-American President of the United States of America. That wasn't his purpose in life, but that's his calling. But he would never have been able to realize the calling of president if he had never finished law school. So law school was his first calling. But when we look at what his purpose is in life as a man, then his purpose is to procreate life with his wife and to be the father of those two beautiful young girls that he had. The purpose of a man and the purpose of a woman put here on this planet, in any generation, on any continent, any country, the purpose of a man and a woman is the same. Now our callings become many. So, Ms. Linda, I appreciate you so very much because this book, The Calling, when I start to talk about it, brings a lot of passions up. So I appreciate the question, and I hope I was able to answer your question.
Yes, you were, and I'm writing and listening, the difference between the calling and the purpose. And I appreciate you so much for letting our listeners hear that because, yes, we are confused. We are confused about a calling, a person. A lot of people are confused out there, Mr. Cannon, with who they are. You know, and that is something that I feel, and especially our youth, you know, the reason why this show is here, it's basically set up for them. Because the youth out need to pick up more books and stop shooting and start talking. And when you talked about Mary Bethune and Booker T. Washington writing back in time, putting their thoughts down on paper when it was at a time that they weren't supposed to even know how to write. I mean, it was like forbidden. And to give us all this wonderful information and all of this history. And when you mentioned that, I was thinking of how many of our youth do not know about their history and whatever cultures they come from. And it's very, very important to go and find out where you came from, who you are. Because once you realize who you are, no one can, it can be a delay, but it cannot be a stop. And when you talk about the calling versus the purpose, once you receive that calling, then nothing will stop you. I like the way you explain that, and it's going to make me go deeper and deeper. I just love the book, but I don't want to give it away. I sort of like want it to be a surprise, but the cover of the book is very, very touching and striking, and it says a lot. Can you tell me why that particular picture? Why?
Well, and I appreciate that, Ms. Linda, because you're absolutely right. It was a lot of thought I put into the cover of the book where you have me holding the picture of a baby in my hand because that's where it all begins. And I think in the position of life, in order to start your calling, to get on with your calling, you have to first be born. You have to first understand that you've been privileged to come into this world just like everybody. We all had to start as babies. Nobody came into this world as a grown man or a grown woman. We all came out of the womb of a woman. We all wiggled and tickled and jiggled and on the inside of a woman. We all, you know, were able to make our first 9 months of life on the inside of a woman. So the cover of the book is very valuable because the cover simply speaks volumes to the fact that we should start our conversation from the position of life. We should start our calling understanding that it started when we were just a baby. It doesn't start, your calling doesn't start when you finish school magna cum laude, even though that is a calling. But you had a calling way before then. The first calling that we all had in life was the calling to be a scholar, the calling to be a student, the calling to learn. The baby's first call is the calling to start learning immediately, because the baby finds itself in a new environment. In the womb and then after the womb, because the womb is one environment. Then, you know, to come into life that's already prepared, that's already been going on, to have the privilege to start out as a baby watching everything. The baby learns that in order to get attention from the mother, it has to begin to cry. The baby learns that in order to get around, it has to learn to crawl. The baby learns to, in order to participate, that it has to learn to talk. And nobody teaches the baby to crawl. The baby has to pay attention and learn, because its first calling is to be a student, to be a scholar, to pay attention and to learn, to be hungry and carnivorous, like that caterpillar on those leaves, eating up everything that it can find to eat up, because it's hungry. And that's how the baby is. It's hungry for knowledge, because it's a calling on that baby to learn, to pay attention. You can take a baby and put it in any city, any continent in the world, and that baby will learn to speak the language of the people fluently. And so then that becomes indicative of the fact that every baby, every young person, your first calling is the call to be a student, call to learn. And so even a child has a calling when it goes off to school. Its calling is not to cuss out the teacher. The student's calling is not to prove that they know more than the teacher. The calling of the student is to learn, to ask good quality questions, to keep your mind open and hungry for new knowledge, for new wisdom, to be paying attention to everything that's going on. Because the calling of the baby, the calling of the young person, is the calling of the student, the calling to learn. And it starts as a baby. So that's why I use that picture, my sister.
You know, that is so true. And it starts in the womb of the mother, and that's why it is important that when we are with child, that we are very cautious and careful and aware of what we do. I know a lot of mothers, when they're carrying their children, they play music, they read to them. It all starts there. And once they're out into this world, the observation begins. And you're right. We are all in this life still babies, and we still learn each and every day from the things that we see, do and say, and most of all, we learn from others. And that's why that statement goes out there, you can be taught by anyone, and anyone can be a teacher. Just watch the baby. when you speak of in your book, you say many are called but are chosen. What does that say? Many are called, but few are chosen. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Again, I appreciate you so very much because that's an outstanding question. And the quote comes from, it's a biblical quote in which it's a powerful quote. And I think people have quoted it for many, many years. I'd heard it for many years. And so upon seeking understanding of what many are called, the few are chosen means, that means that their calling is an opportunity for greatness. The opportunity to be called as a student in America means that if a young person takes advantage of that, if a young person takes advantage of all the opportunities that's given to them, that's in front of them, based on what's in their heart, the calling that's in their heart. If a young man starts out going to school and he becomes magnum cum laude and he learns everything about the law, then that young man is given an opportunity, and that's a calling. But he can mess that opportunity up. Dr. Martin Luther King said that when the doors of opportunity open, if we're too drunk even to stagger through those doors of opportunity, if we fill with too much bitterness to be able to identify that this is an opportunity, if we're too lethargic, too lazy to go the extra mile, then even though we've been called, you're not going to be chosen to go to the next level. The calling is definitely there. You definitely have a calling on your life because you've been given life. And the thing about life is that every individual is a masterpiece. Every individual has great qualities on the inside of them that no one else has. That you are a masterpiece of a person. You are a masterpiece of a creation. But the thing about it, many are called, few are chosen. The next level of being chosen is determined based on what you do with your calling. President Barack Obama could have never been chosen, elected or selected, to be the President of the United States of America if he had never walked out his calling. If he didn't stay focused, if he didn't ask good questions, if he didn't determine in his heart that regardless to what his partners or friends were doing, he heard his calling and he moved out in it. If your calling causes you to rise up early and join the 4 o'clock club, then you got to do it. Because it's something that you will receive at 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody else is sleeping. When you burn the midnight oil, there's something that you're going to receive that others that do not take the time to get up, go the extra mile, they're not going to receive what you receive. So the slogan I say, write it down and put it over your doorpost when you walk out of your room every morning. Many are called, but few are chosen. And you want to be one of the called and chosen ones, chosen to do great things, chosen to see things that other people don't see, chosen to go places that other people don't get an opportunity to go, to experience things other people don't experience. But the question is, what are you doing with your calling? Because if you do the right thing with your calling, then I'm guaranteeing you that you will be chosen. Because one thing that they say about it doesn't make a difference of your authenticity. If you polish, a polished young man is hard to hold him back. A polished young person is hard to hold him down. When you know not only English, but you know Spanish and French and German, and you learn more, then it's going to be hard to hold that person back. So thus, many are called, few are chosen.
Whoa, I'm just listening here and I'm reflecting back on the words that I heard as a young child that was spoken to me on a daily basis, and that was to become aware, leave your neighborhood, go out and find out what's happening. When you say you must hear your calling, and in order to hear your calling, you have to be ready on the inside, meaning that the anger, the negativity, the distrust, all of these things that we walk around and we carry in our lives as blockage, and I call it blockage. It's a difference between blockage and carrying baggage. You can carry baggage and carry from one place to the other and put it down and fly to New York with it and fly to Texas and fly many places with your baggage. But you must discard that blockage. There's blockage that stops us from doing everything that we're supposed to be guarding. If the block is there, you're not going to hear the calling. You're saying that every individual is a masterpiece. And we must be aware that we are masterpieces. When you become aware that you are a masterpiece, you become open. You become positive, starting with yourself first. So therefore, everything that you are around or you approach or you look into, you will view this in a positive manner. So therefore, you're opening up yourself to hear this calling. Now, as you're stating in your book, you have to speak your calling. Can you explain that a little bit to us, please?
I appreciate that so very much because, you know, there's a scripture that says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And because we as people are emotional people, we get moved by things that people say. You know, a person can be encouraged. They can start out encouraged throughout the day. They can wake up in the morning encouraged. And their mother can say some things to them, yell at them, fuss at them, call them out their name, and they can discourage that young person. A coworker or a friend or someone you look up to can say some things that will discourage you. They lose faith in you, and they can express that to you, and that can discourage you. There's some things in life that can seemingly feel like they punch you in the stomach, and it makes you want to go backwards instead of going forward. But when you understand that you have to speak to yourself, you have to encourage yourself, you have to build yourself up regardless to what other people are saying about you, regardless to what they're calling you out your name, or they seemingly have no faith in you, you got to have faith in yourself. And the next step to that is to start speaking it out your mouth. Doesn't make a difference what your mother called you or your daddy called you or your friends called you. If you call yourself a conqueror, if you call yourself a winner, if you know you're capable, then when the whole world says that you're not capable, then you got to be able to stand up and take the microphone and say, I believe that I'm capable. You got to wake up every morning saying, I'm brilliant and I'm intelligent and I'm walking in my calling. It doesn't make a difference what other people are saying about you every morning. And you can't just assume that it's going to be okay when you walk out of the door. You got to start speaking it before you even get to the door, that today is going to be a good day, that there's nothing coming at me today that me and my God cannot handle. You got to start speaking the aroma around you to create the atmosphere in your life. Because there's a lot of negative things that's going to come at you. But imagine the caterpillar that's crawling on the ground every day with 10 legs. and some of his legs can get wounded, or a bird may fly down and try to destroy the caterpillar. But the caterpillar has to understand that even though my legs are wounded, I believe I can fly. He has to start speaking that while he's a caterpillar before he even become a butterfly, because it's what's on the inside of him. Other people are going to say, you a caterpillar. You ain't got no wings. You ain't going to fly today, tomorrow, or never fly. You will never soar in the sky. You will never see things from a heavenly level. But the caterpillar has to be able to say, you just watch and see. I'm going to defy the odds because there's something on the inside of me that's telling me I'm not going to crawl on this ground all my life. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is, when you understand how big the calling is on the inside of you, then you got to start speaking it out your mouth. Even though you might not see the finish line, you got to start speaking it. It's kind of like a woman who goes outside and she don't see a dog outside, but he knows he's out there. So she starts calling for him. Come here, dog. And she starts calling for his dog. She don't call for the cat. If she wants the dog, she calls for the dog. So what we have to do is learn to speak out of our mouths what it is we want. Don't say my arthritis if you don't want arthritis. Don't say my heart problem if you don't want a heart problem. You command your body with the words of your mouth. You command your body to get in line with your calling and what God created you to do. You can't go leap over a mountain and run a mountain if your body ain't acting right. So you got to speak to your body. You got to speak to your chromosomes and your blood cells, and you got to command them to function at 100% capacity the way the Creator created them to function. You are the supervisor over your cells and over your blood cells and over your body. So you got to demand it with the words of your mouth to get in line. You got to understand that your words are the mixer, and that's what adds faith to your life. And you do that with your words, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So therefore, you can speak death to your life, or you can speak life to your life. So my question is, what are you saying over your own life? Because it's valuable and it's important, and you've got to speak your calling out of your mouth to get to the next level.
You are so right, and I'm a product of that coming up in Texas, if I may share this with the listening audience, and the obstacles that were there. But because my parents did exactly as Mr. Cannon was speaking of, you know, telling me about my greatness and my potentials and that I could do anything that I put my mind to do, in despite of being out there. And I'm speaking to all the young adults, because you get this each and every day. I have witnessed this. And to all of you, I cannot just walk up. Some of you I give hugs to. Some of you I say, just do it. And the question is, what do you want? That is a very important question, and it starts at an early age. What do you want? When that question is asked, and you ask yourself, what do I want? You get out. You do many, many things to find out exactly. But as a young girl, I was in junior high school, and my sister was a twirler, and I did not like the baton because I couldn't twirl it. So I would talk about it. So when she graduated from high school, she said, you're going to be next, and when you finish, you teach Pat, which was the younger sister. And I didn't want to do it. She said, I'm going to teach you this two-hand spin, and you learn it. So I picked up the baton, and I started working on the two-hand spin, and I got a little interested. Well, my interest was in the band. I wanted to always be a cheerleader, but I was a bit too heavy, so they didn't accept me in. So I said, well, I'll just play in the band. I got in the band. I said, I'll play the drums because it's easy. To my surprise, my band director gave me a drum pad and a book, and he said, you're going to learn those rudiments. He placed me then on the bass drum. He told me at that time that this is the heartbeat, and if the heart does not beat, the band will not go. So I learned the bass drum, and then he moved me into the snares. Well, I could not play cadence like the guys, but I could read. I read because of that band instructor, and I became an all-city concert snarist. Every year, I would take a trophy in junior high, and we went up against 9 junior high schools, and I would always sit back and say, well, I'll be last. And, of course, the guys would tease me because, oh, yeah, she's afraid. But what they did not understand is I was learning every beat of what they were playing down to the triangle team. So when it was my time to get up and perform, I could take it. That was because I had been told by my parents that you can do anything that you put your mind to, pay attention, stay focused. Well, when it came to my senior high, I applied, went out for twirler. Well, the high school, the junior high that I attended was on the other side of the track, going up against the very exclusive junior high with all the doctors and the lawyers' children. And, you know, we were kind of like, you know, the underdogs on the other side of the track. But I was determined. So when I ran up against my competition, and I noticed the attitudes and how I was being treated, it angered me. So I would take my baton every night and get in the backyard with the lantern, and my mother would have to call me in. And it was me and my baton. We talked to each other. We learned each other. So the day of the audition, during the time there were routines being taught, to everyone, but when it was time for them to show me my routine, they would speed through it. So I would have to get the little parts that I could catch on to. So I said, that's nothing. I'll just learn the baton. So the day of the competition, when the bands are out, when all the principals are out, and you're out on this big bill, and all the students are out, and you're competing. You're competing for captainship of this drum and bugle twirler drill squad. You're competing. Well, they all knew a routine because they had, you know, been taught. I did not have the routine down because, you know, I was the underdog. So what I did, I knew my baton. I knew everything that I had to do. So I just said, well, I'll just do this. So I did my calls. I put out all of my real calls. And at the end, I just threw the baton up as high as it could go. It landed on the top of my head. I wrapped it down my body. I brought it back up to the top, and I took a bow. And I became captain of the drum and bugle twirlers of that year, and it was such a shock to those who had tried so hard to keep me back or tried so hard to shun me away because, you know, of where I came from, we'll put it there, that they had to, like, praise and became my very, very, very close friends. And now that I'm wiser and I know, it wasn't because I was popular. It was because I had shown them that you cannot stop me. And the strength and the courage that I had to do what I did was like a drawing card. So I never forgot that. I never forgot that experience. And when I speak with young adults, Mr. Cannon, I always share that with them because just as you say, you have to speak and be what you want to see, and your mouth is life and death. During the course, I've been pretty quick-tongued it, but knowing that I'm working with young adults, learning sensitivity, learning how to really, really step into my greatness at this late time because I am not 22, but I, too, am a believer of be what you want to see and be very, very mindful of what you say. So when you say the power and to understand yourself, the speaker calling is when you know your greatness and when you know what you're about and what you can do, you must speak it, irregardless of what the consequences will be. And never, ever, you young adults out there, fear anything or anybody. It's like I think the artist is Tracy Chapman, and she says, say it. I say it. And learn as you're going through life how to take that sharp-edged tongue and bring it down to softness, but yet still keep that spirit and that funk of saying and talking about your calling. You say walk it, talk it, what do you want? Once you put that there, you know what the calling is, and if you don't hear it or you're having problems understanding it, open your mouth and open your eyes and be ready for those that are coming to you to support you, to move you on your way. This has been so exciting for me this morning, the book. When I saw the book and I saw the cover, I immediately fell into it because the babies, that's my love. And to see this baby being held and hands, and it's just so touching, so it's like a magnet. You immediately know that this is going to be a very exciting, interesting book. You pick it up, you open it, and the first thing that, you know, you see the dedications. It's so nice to read and to know how we appreciate our parents and our families, and that's written down on paper. That's history. That's never going anywhere. That expression and that appreciation is going to be there for all to see. I'm looking at the book. I'm listening to you. I'd like for you to say, how can our youth, what should they do to get started? I believe in working with young adults as far as making presentations. That's important. You're into the writing of what you have to do. You're writing things to take and put down. How should a young adult start if their interest is to book? What should they do?
That's a beautiful question. I appreciate it so very much. I want to respond to a couple of things that you said. Namely, I think you're going to be real excited. My son Nick played in a movie called Drumline. And as you were talking about your experience with school and drumming, they're actually making Drumline 2. They'll start shooting that probably in about 3 weeks down in Atlanta. And in this next movie, Drumline, the main character is going to be a young lady. And it sounds like she was dealing with some of the very same things that you were saying, that, you know, she had to prove that she was capable of learning the cadences. She had to prove that she had the ability to do the to be on the team just like all the other fellas. So I think that's going to be really interesting. That's just kind of a shameful plug for the movie Drumline, that my son is producing this Drumline 2 and directing. And so it's going to be a real interesting movie with the main cast being a female young lady. So I think that's exciting. But to answer your question, what a young person has to do that wants to get into writing, if you want to write your book, if you want to tell your story, which is very, very valuable for all of us, because all of us have stories. All of us have been put in predicaments in life that's very different than our neighbor. And so therefore, since we have different stories, and again, in writing books, it can become financially profitable to you to write your story. That's right. One person said, write hard, young man, write hard. And that simply means be clever, be thoughtful, think it out, and then don't just think it, but ink it. That means put it down and write it, and for other people to read it. You know, people put, leave secrets in books. You know, so whatever secrets that you've learned, if you're ready to write your book, then you get you a powerful title, whatever the name of your book is. People buy books by the title. They walk past the bookstore, the bookshelf, and they look at the title. They scan the title. And if the title jumps out at them, then they'll pick that book up. So the first thing you want to do is have a powerful title. Then you want to get you 10 good chapters. You decide what the chapters are. No one else has to decide what your chapters in your book is going to be. You decide what your chapters are. And you decide what you're going to put in those chapters. You want to pray to God and say, God, give me insight on this subject matter. And then you want to write every morning. You might have to join the 4 o'clock club, which means getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or 30 minutes earlier, whatever time you get up in the morning, just for yourself, just to write, just to get clarity. It's therapeutic when you start writing those 10 chapters. But you determine when you're done. If one of your chapters is only going to be a page and a half and another chapter is going to be 10 pages, well, that's up to you. Just write hard on the subject. And once you write in those 10 chapters every day, you will impress yourself with what comes out of you. And it will be therapeutic, ladies and gentlemen. And then what we do, we have a powerful title. You have 10 good chapters. And then from there, once you finish it, then you got to think about your marketing. You got to think about who you want to read this book. And so you want to be wise in your marketing strategy, because today, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best time in history to be marketing any product. This is the best time in history to use the tools that's available to us to take our projects to the next level. If you think about a man by the name of Barack Obama, it doesn't even sound American. But yet, because he was wise enough to employ and use the tools to help him become the first Afro-American president of the United States of America, those tools helped him run the race on a whole nother level where people didn't even see him coming. When they saw him coming, he was leaving because he used the tools that was available to him to do what I call Googleplex. When you Googleplex something, means you put it in the stratosphere. You put it out of the reach of other people. Google comes from the same word that they get the word Google from, the company, but it's spelled different. It's G-O-O-G-O-L. A-L, when you look at a Google and you defined it, it's a one with 100 zeros behind it. That's a large number. So when, no matter what you're doing in life, if you want to Googleplex your life, if you want to Googleplex your book, if you want to Googleplex your dating, if you want to Googleplex your vocabulary, then you got to use the tools that's available to you. The word Google is a mathematic word. It's a one with 100 zeros, but a Googleplex, if you study it out and find the definition of a Googleplex, that's one with so many zeros behind it that it would take you now and the time that your grandchildren graduate from college for you to put zeros behind that one. A Googleplex is so large, ladies and gentlemen, that it would take, it's like trying to count the stars in the heavens. It's kind of like Googleplexing is when you go out on the beach and you start counting the sand that's on the beach. There's so many out there. Not that you can't count it, but you don't have enough time. So what I'm saying is to Googleplex what we're doing. Your education, your vocabulary, your books, your profession. You got to use the tools that's available to you. So if you was to write a book and you use the tools that's available to you, then I guarantee you that you can change your financial situation in 3 years so you never have to worry about money again, because you wrote your own story and then you Google plucks that bad boy so everybody in the country will be talking about your book. That's what you want to do. You don't want to just write a book, but you want to Google plucks that bad boy, because that's when it's really going to make a difference in your life, ladies and gentlemen. Get you a powerful title, 10 Good Subjects. Write in those subjects every day, and then market that book with all the enthusiasm and excitement that you can muster up, and put that bad boy in the stratosphere. That's what I want you to do. That's my answer.
Whoa. Mr. Cannon, I'm over here writing 000s. We talk about Google Plusing, and you talk about the universe and the stars, you know. When I meet people and individuals that have known me in the past and they say, you know, things, all positive things, I tell them I am a supernova star. And they look. I said, you know, stars burn for billions of years out there. I said, but the supernova burns down and reignites again. I said, so therefore just call me supernova. And the group of young adults that I deal with, we talk about the supernova stars. I'm appreciating the product, the marketing, all of the information. There's another caller on the line, Miss Dara Beckham. Can you stay on the line and I bring her in? Do you mind that?
Oh, no, yes, ma'am, I'm with you.
And Miss Beckham is coming in, and she is, like, been listening to you. I know she has a lot to say. Let's see if we can bring Vara in to see if she's still on the line. Vara, are you on the line with Wake Up with Linda McShann?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Good morning. I'm on the line also. James Cannon is on the line with us. He's just giving us information. He has a great book out called The Calling. We were talking about birth and giving all the listeners information regarding, you know, just like being their word, talking about his book, the book The Calling, telling us the difference between a calling and a purpose, letting us know that we're all individuals and that we are masterpieces in life. And I'm so glad that you're on the line, because you are one of those masterpieces that I am so appreciative to have on the line with us this morning, the both of you, Mr. Cannon, Vera Beckham. Vera Beckham is an individual that is, Mr. Cannon, if I will say this, she is the person that is responsible, and I'll let the listeners know that for me, going into the university, UCLA, she is the person that is responsible that I am walking on June 12th with my cap and gown in the Lauti family. This lady that's on the is remarkable. I call her Firecracker. And the reason why is because she grabs, she observes, and she speaks her calling. Not only does she do it for herself, she does it for everyone that she meets. Vera, we're so glad to have you joining us this morning. And can you just tell us a little bit about Vera and what she does?
Okay. Thank you, Linda. And thank you for sharing, James. I was listening to some of what you said, and I'm going to tie that into what I wanted to talk about this morning. What I wanted to talk about this morning was about language and literacy, and I wanted to talk about the ways that we communicate. And specifically, I wanted us to think about our learning styles and how we engage with life around us. Specifically, animals, including insects, stones, rocks, and trees, plants, they all communicate with us, and we can communicate with them as well. And this type of communication can assist us in all areas of our lives. There's something, I think, like Hippocrates was quoted as saying that plants are medicine, and indigenous people for, you know, years have been talking about plants as being allies in healing. And so I really wanted us to think about, I really want to talk about how that has had such a huge impact on my life in terms of me being able to make decisions with clarity and get messages to share with others that have brought blessings to my life in return. So I wanted us to also think about the ways that by practicing communicating with stones, rocks, trees, animals, insects, that we can actually practice building connections. And how important that is for us as human beings right now to really practice building connections again. And so all of these creatures, beings, can help us to end that practice so that it's an easier process for us. And the second piece I wanted to talk about is how through that process we can become conscious co-creators of our own lives, because we are able to gain an awareness that enables us to realize the choices that we're making and that we can make different choices at really deep levels. And all of these creatures, beings, can help us in really expanding our consciousness and understanding the ways that our entire body relates to how we communicate. So that is the main piece that I wanted to just kind of bring to the conversation. And another quick note is that right now a lot of us have like extra energy because we're not, a lot of us are very sedentary still. We don't do as much movement as our bodies were built for us to do. And so in communicating with stones and trees and animals, we can actually redirect that excess energy towards more positive things, and they can help us practice doing that. So, yeah, that's where I'll end. And then I'll let Linda, if you have any questions, or James, if you wanted to, you know, engage in any type of conversation around that, I'm open to that as well.
Well, Bala, I'm listening here, and you hit a point about the extra energy that we have because we're sedentary, we're not doing things. I know that you do works with individuals to help bring out all of these qualities and awareness, and before we get deep into it, could you let the listeners know how to contact you? And the name of what you do, can you put your number out so that they can jot it down and be able to contact you now before we get started into this goodness?
Sure. Okay. So the name of my company is Mugwort and Crow. Mugwort is M-U-G-W-R-O-T, and Crow as in the animal, C-R-O-W. My phone number is 323-547-1333. I can also be reached at mugwort and crow at gmail.com. And
could you
my
repeat?
Yeah, absolutely. I can repeat all of it. So the company name is Mugwort and Crow. My phone number is 323-547-1333. And my email address is mugwort, M-U-G-W-R-O-T, and A-N-D, crow, C-R-O-W, at gmail.com.
Thank you so much. And when you're speaking of dealing with nature, dealing with the rocks, dealing with the stones and the insects, and just sitting back, bringing back that consciousness and awareness, and with the days being so busy, each and every one of us out there, we're super, super busy. How do a person find time to just, like, tapping just one of these things, what would you suggest? Is there a time that this should be done, like a.m., midday, or before, you know, the last thing that you do at night? When do you settle in just to focus in to become aware? How do you work that? What would you suggest for an individual to do?
I would say start small because it can be a really powerful shock to your system when you actually when you choose to consciously engage with them because their response is so immediate sometimes. You can start with a house plant. You can start with a plant in the office. You can start with a rock that you've collected that you never really realized why you were attracted to picking it up. You can start with the spider that's in your bathroom, you know. It's really about noticing your immediate response to it and then just making a choice to send it love, you know, to think about a way that you can appreciate it, because when you do that, you build a different type of connection with the animal versus ignoring it or being afraid of it. You can actually begin that process right there because they will respond. And maybe at first you don't feel their response, but sometimes you will, especially with plants. It can be very small. You can even go outside if you live somewhere where there are trees, and you can just simply go and look at the tree. Just watch the tree, and if you feel up to it, you can even touch the tree. And focus on really studying it, because by giving your attention to it, you're beginning to engage with it, and it's going to respond to that in one way or another.
So it's like being aware, just taking anything that comes into your path and giving it love. I keep hearing the word love. So everything that we do, our being, our desires, my intentions must come from love. Is that what I'm hearing?
Okay. Well, the part of the process is learning that, because not all of us know how to do that consistently. And so one of the benefits of connecting with these beings, these creatures, is that they can teach us that. So, like, let's say if you are afraid of an animal, right, and it's an animal, like, okay, if you're afraid of dogs, for instance, and you know there's a dog that's a loving dog, and people tell you, oh, this dog is wonderful, you can focus on just sitting next to the dog, and even if you're afraid, just allowing yourself to stay there, that dog will help you get over the fear. So sometimes it's about allowing the plant or the animal or the stone to teach us how to experience that loving energy, especially at a time when we're not able to produce it within ourselves.
Whoa. So it's a learning process, and in order to learn, taking this information out to the youth, the word here is learning. And in order to learn, as Mr. Cannon stated last week when he was on the line with us, you have to be teachable. So if you don't know these things and you know that there are persons out here that are able to give you this information, you must be willing to be teachable, to not know everything, to take out the time, as Mr. Cannon states, and pay attention so that you can recognize and hear and say your calling. And as Barbara Beckham is telling us this morning, that you must be aware and release your fears. When she said, if you're afraid of a dog and you stay and you give that dog love, that eventually you will be able to settle down and be able to communicate. It's all about communication, and communication does not have to be verbally all the time, but communication must come heartfelt. You must move with your heart, and I'm going to break this up a little bit, Vara, because you know that we have both participated in activities that that have, like, brought about silent communications. I don't know if you remember the time that I, Linda, was requested, and one of my responsibilities was to be a mime for 2 hours, which killed me. But I had to move with my heart, and that was the most exciting experience that I had had in a long, long time, to be able to communicate with another individual speechless and just move with motion and my heart. So I'm putting that out there to say that, listeners, if you take out the time to practice this, take out the time to be teachable, take out the time, as Mr. Cannon says, sometimes get up in the morning at 4 o'clock to get the job done, that it's going to give you an extra push to continue to step out into your greatness. As Varys mentioned, anything that attracts you, to actually pay attention to it and see how you are being attracted to this particular item. I am ecstatic over here this morning. I am so appreciative to have both James Cannon and Vera Beckham on the line with us today, two persons that have been very, very instrumental in my calling or my greatness or just taking and believing. And young adults, when you're being shunned out there, when you're being pushed to the back, when persons are telling you that you cannot do something or just not including you in anything, as Mr. Cannon said, get up and speak about your greatness to yourself. You have to have a conversation with yourself on a daily basis. As Viola Backstrom is telling us, to pay attention, to give the love, be aware, and be able to be teachable. Had I not myself, and I will say this to all the listeners, been open, been positive, been aware of persons around that had the ability and the know-how and the recognition that I was given, that I would not be speaking to you on this phone today, that I would not be putting on a cap and gown, getting ready to walk on my first stage. I have two more to go. If I had not been open for the teaching and the positivity to release all the anger that was lying and blocking me in my life, we would not be here today talking to you. I'm stating this because it is something that I would like for each and every one of you there to think about, relax, pay attention, be teachable, let everyone know what you're about, but most of all, let yourself know what you're about. This is, we're on the line with Wake Up with Linda McShann. We're here Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock. And on Saturdays, there's a wind down with Linda time. And on Sundays, we leave the line open for the families. It's new beginnings. We're taking advantage of everything that's being offered here. People are sharing with you because this is what the world needs. It is time for us to get out, market our love, market our product, market our beings. What are you being? Who are you being? Where did you come from? And what are you going to do with it? Not just sit around and be sedentary, like Vera Beckham states, with all the energy that you have. Get up, get out, speak out, and do something about it. I'm going to take this time to thank both James Cannon and Vera Beckham for being here with us on Wake Up with Linda, and also to inform you that tomorrow the show will air about 7 o'clock p.m. because I have finals, and I am very, very excited about it. I want each and every one of you to give me your energy and all your positivity. Mr. Cannon, if you're still with us, do you have something that you would like to say to the listening audience as a final?
Yes, indeed, I definitely do, and I want to address my sister. I appreciate her so much on coming on as well, and the things that she said is so true. All of us do have fears that it keep us from going forward, keep us from walking in our calling. There's some ways that we can express that, and even as she was saying, getting to know, taking the time to getting to know that animal that all your life you was afraid of, or that plant that you would never gravitate to see that it has life as well, that the plant has life and it also has a calling, you know. So I think as we all learn from each other, I just simply want to say that iron sharpens iron, and we get better by dealing with each other, and that means that we just have to continue to extend patience towards one another. One other thing that you said is, and that is more love, that we need that. I think with the scripture that says, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. People's love will become fragmented and hard to understand and hard to find. But, you know, when we reach out to people and when we extend ourselves, go the extra mile, be willing to turn the other cheek, that's where we find the friendship being developed. I don't have to go the extra mile. I don't have to extend myself. But when we do, it's in that second mile that you develop a friendship. It's when you turn the other cheek, when the person begins to see both sides of you, and then they realize that they're wrong. And so therefore, going the extra mile, turning the extra cheek, is an expression of love. And that's what's important. Let's express our love this week, today, by going the extra mile, turning the other cheek. Because it's an expression of love to the person that you're turning the other cheek to and that you're going the extra mile with. And that's where you find the friendship.
Thank you so much for giving us that to finalize this. And, Vara, if you're still with us, do you have some final words that you'd like to put out to all our wonderful listeners this morning?
Yes, sir. When we build connections in any manner, all of those people become similar to the word we have now called allies. They become a support system for us because we have built a reciprocal relationship in which not only are they able to support us, but we support them. And one of the beautiful things that we learn from working on relationships and working on maintaining connections is we learn how we contribute to other people's lives and other beings' lives, and we learn a sense of our own value from direct experience, not by what someone has told us. And a lot of times right now, especially, we get a lot of negative messages about who we are and what we're capable of, and when we allow ourselves to stay in connection and to work on connections, we learn about ourselves and the value that we have from direct experience, and that will be a proof positive in our memories of who we are and what we're capable of, which is going to be essential as we build a life that we want and continually have to come or continually meet people or experiences that we could interpret as telling us that we're not worth X, Y, or Z. But when we have these memories of these connections we've built and the people and the beings that care for us, then we can remember, oh, yeah, you know what, let me think a little differently about this, and let me actually remember that I do have value because my value has been communicated and affirmed to me by all these different experiences that I've already had in my life. And those types of things will help us to build in a way that is masterful. And really consciously creating the life of our dreams, of our vision. Thank you.
Wow, this has been an exciting morning. This has been a marvelous morning. This has been a magical morning. This has been a morning that each and every one of us out there should actually cherish. This is just the beginning. Connections, being alive, knowing your calling, having a beautiful support system, getting out there, blending together, loving together, youth of the world. This is from Linda McShann. Listen, pay attention, and most of all, know that we are here for you. We will do anything that we have to do or get to do to make sure that you have victories and many, many successes throughout your lifetime. There's educators at your disposal. There's health specialists at your disposal. There's everything here for you that you could possibly need. Call on us. Know your calling. See your calling and say it. And with that, I'm going to take us out and let everyone know out there how much love we have for one another. Hopefully you felt us, you felt our hearts, and this is just the beginning. So I'm going to take us down, and we have a little word here from Stevie. You have been on the air with Wake Up with Linda McShann. I've had Mr. James Cannon with us and Barbara Beckham with us. And I'd like to take this time to ask the both of them to please, please return back with us again so that we will get more information and everything that we need to just make our lives more victorious, our beings, and step across the line from the negativity, from the hardships, from the blockage, and just step into our greatness. I love you all. I'm going to take it back with some music, take it all out. And callers, thank you. And listeners, I love you.